The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Last hour of the Paul Feinbaum Show. Peter Burns sitting in for Mr. Feinbaum. I'll be here Thursday and Friday of this week as well. Follow me on Twitter at Peter Burns ESPN as we are just a week away from SEC Media Days. I'm fired up. We're going to be doing 46 hours of coverage from the SEC Network and ESPN for SEC Media Days. That's crazy. I think like Pac-12, they do like a Zoom phone call for 8 minutes and be like, hey, here's the coaches. Hi, hello. Goodbye. Some of the other conferences do it that way. Not here. Just means more, one might say. More of your phone calls coming up. We're going to talk to Joseph Goodman in just a second. Great article Joe wrote in AL.com talking about NIL and the Iron Bowl. But before we do that, our theme today is Cam, our producer from Philly. He's trying to adopt an SEC team this year for this upcoming football season. He's an Eagles fan, so we've been asking what team should he adopt. Tyler is in Arkansas, and he has an idea. What do you got for me, Tyler?
Hey, Peter.
Hey, what's up, Tyler?
Not too much, man. So, I love listening, enjoying listening. Honestly, I'm not much of one to call in, but I feel like Cam's quite a dilemma, and I really think I've got some good advice for him.
Okay.
So what it all comes down to, when any of us really become diehard fans, we all have, like, our reasons for that, as far as, like, you know, you went to school there, you grew up there, you got family there, you married into it, whatever you want to say. So I really think we need to focus more on Cam and what he's already a diehard fan of, which is the Philadelphia Eagles. Mm. So to expand on that and to really increase his enjoyment for the Eagles, you know, I think it's easy when you look at who their new 1-2 punch really is going to be for the Eagles. And you got Jalen Hurts and you got Devontae Smith. And we all know that they had their successes at Alabama.
At Alabama.
So if he wants to continue to go on and have fun with the Eagles and root for Jalen Hurts and Devontae Smith, it's just a natural progression in my mind. He needs
Tyler,
to go for Alabama.
I see that. Thank you for the phone call. Very much like how LSU fans right now can go pull for Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow over at Cincinnati, you can say, listen, I could be Bama and Philly. Trying to streamline it for you, Cam. You good with that?
Yeah, I got to say, I am good with that. All these arguments, I might be more torn now than I was at the beginning of the show.
Well,
so this might be doing more harm than good. We've got Iman appealing to my sense of city pride. We've got Tyler appealing to my sense of love for the Philadelphia Eagles. It's tough. It's tough out here.
Welcome to the SEC and the Feinbaum Show, where it just messes with your head. Joseph Goodman joining us from AL.com. Hopefully some true talent here on this show now, as opposed to myself. You wrote a great article talking about, you know, name, image, and likeness, and one of those teams that, you know, Cam, our producer, may end up adopting, maybe Auburn or Alabama this year, and how the Iron Bowl has a different significance about it. I mean, tell everybody a little bit about it.
Well, you know, first off, I would say, Cam, if you want to go with the Philadelphia underdog team, you know, Rocky, Auburn would be your team in the Iron Bowl this year. And not every year, but definitely this coming up year. With the NIL, that is just this built-in marketing treasure for Alabama and Auburn now to be able to market to players. They always have done that. Made that a focal point, and especially all the players that are from Alabama, you know, that's a huge deal to them. But for now, these businesses can just endorse players and get their business, you know, message out through the Iron Bowl, which is such a huge marketing brand in the state of Alabama and nationally. So that was just the point of the column today. Just the fact that you got to kind of look beyond just these individual, I guess, you know, moments that are going to be sponsored for players and players are going to endorse and look at these broader things that the entire state, you know, will be able to, I guess, get behind and be attractive to these players.
Joe, it's interesting to me because I remember seeing one of the first deals that came out was Bo Nix, and he was pimping out some a sweet tea company, and all of a sudden I saw Bama fans going whoa, what is going on? And obviously, and then if I'm not mistaken, who was it? Malachi, Malachi Moore for Bama gets the same deal, and I'm wondering, is this going to be a situation to where any person in the state, if they decide to grab somebody from a certain team, are they going to try to even it out for business sense? I mean, is this almost going to have to be a one-for-one if you want to do business in the state of Alabama?
Yeah, I mean, and that's kind of the point I made in the column with, you know, with the Milo Sweet Tea. You got the quarterback for Auburn, who is sponsored by Milo Sweet Tea, mm-hmm. and you got the defensive back for Alabama. So no matter who loses or who wins, Milo Sweet Tea is going to win, you know, is going to win that day. So there can definitely be some losers, though, right? And we saw what happened with Bo Nix and Milo Sweet Tea when that first happened. You know, all these Alabama fans like said they're going to boycott Milo Sweet Tea. They were dumping it out in the sink. They were, like, saying that they were only going to buy Red Diamond, you know, Sweet Tea, which is another Birmingham company. And, you know, from that, a day later, the people at Milo's said, wait a second. We need to go out and we need to sign up an Alabama kid. And that, you know, that kid was Malachi Moore, who's just like Bo Nix. He's a Birmingham kid. Like Bo Nix went to Pinson and Malachi mm-hmm. Moore with the Hewitt Trustville. So, you know, there's some symmetry there. They both are Birmingham kids, for, you know, representing the Birmingham company. But yeah, man, it's going to be down the middle. I think, companies are really going to have to be cognizant of the guys that they endorse in this state because the rivalry is so strong. I mean, down the line.
No, I mean, listen, if no show in the country, rather the world, knows more about the fierceness of rivalries than maybe the Paul Feinbaum show, right? I mean, with everything in this great conference, especially over in the Iron Bowl, Joe Goodman of AL.com joining Peter Burns here on the Paul Feinbaum show. And I'm fascinated about name, image, and likeness because I feel like we're in the honeymoon phase of it right now, right? Like, everyone's happy. You know, there's a lot of question marks. Hey, how is this going to work out? But right now, you know, a lot of smiles in the face from the advertisers who are getting the plugs and mentions. A lot of smiles, especially for the athletes and people for advocating for players' rights. But what's the first thing? Has there been anything that made you kind of go, oh, okay, I didn't expect this curveball? Has that shown up on your radar yet when talking about name, image, and likeness in sports?
I mean, the first curveball was the Milo Sweet Tea.
Yeah, I guess so.
The backlash
right.
that Alabama fans had. I mean, that was really incredible and eye-opening for me because, you know, at 12:02 a.m., like 2 minutes into it, Bo Nix on Instagram announced his endorsement deal, and like immediately he was trending on nationally on Twitter, and Milo Sweet Tea was out there. But then there was the other shoe that dropped, which was the Alabama football reaction. So it was instantaneous. The rivalry was kind of like, I'm going to say this, but it was brewed into that, you know, from the beginning.
Oh, that was very punny. Very punny there. Very punny.
The steeped in tradition.
Oh, jeez.
but, yeah, I think that's going to be the case, you know. I, as far as, like, the drawbacks, I don't know, man. I haven't really thought of too many, like, you know, oh, no, what if scenarios. I mean, I just think this is great for the kids all the way around. I think it's going to end up being great for the schools and the sport. It's just going to enhance everything. So, you know, there'll be some pitfalls and pratfalls along the way, but –
yeah, and you talked about it. It's a little bit of a redistribution of wealth, right? You wrote that at AL.com, and I believe it, right? Where I think that schools have been doing these, you know, arms races when it comes to facilities, and here in the SEC, we traditionally have pretty damn good facilities, whereas some of this money now, I don't think completely bypasses the university. I think still people will want to be boosters to be a part of that, but I don't think that there's a doubt to where there will be some of that money that goes back to the players' pockets for name, image, and likeness and marketing reasons than maybe hey, an extra $75,000 for the strength and conditioning facilities or an upgrade here. When do you think that that plays a major role in why necessarily maybe some universities, not necessarily SEC, but just across the country, were fighting this so hard?
Yeah, I think that definitely had a lot to do with it. That idea of this redistribution of wealth. But, I mean, it's naturally going to happen if you just think about the economics of it, because all this money is pumped into these facilities for recruiting. You know, if you have the best whatever waterfall in your locker room, that's theoretically supposed to impress the recruits. But now that all that money is now going to be able to be taken, you know, away from those things, I think, and given and filtered to the athletes, you know, through various businesses. And I think that is going to cause some of that redistribution of wealth, which I was talking. That was a previous column a couple weeks ago. But, yeah, I think that that will definitely be like a cause and effect type thing.
And again, I don't think we'll see kind of those big effects, mostly the negative effects, until 3 months, 6 months, a year, or 2 years down the road. We see the immediate impact of name, image, and likeness when it comes to Bo Nix or Malachi Moore being able to profit off of name, image, and likeness. We won't see the drawbacks until a little bit later. Joe, we appreciate the time. Last question for you. Media Days is a week from today. What do you think the major storyline at the end of the week will be and what we'll be buzzing talking about?
Well, I'm hoping that it's going to be focused on the players and NIL. You know, I think they deserve the limelight going into this media day. And listen, it would be really smart for businesses out there right now to identify some of these players that are appearing at SEC media days and try to attach their brands to some of those guys, you know, because they're going to be really the first players that all of the SEC media contingent are going to be able to meet with. And how long has it been? 18 months? I mean, it's been so long. So this is a, you know, it's not like a normal SEC media days type scenario now. It's, you know, coming off of COVID, NIL, and also the 12-team playoff will be a huge storyline, I think, whenever that happens. And, you know, hopefully, Brian Harrison has something to say. You know, we really haven't heard a lot out of Auburn's coach. I love to hear him kind of tell us more about who he is, and of course, Lane Kiffin. So,
I mean, Lane's tweets speak for themselves. And again, I think it's going to be a fascinating week in kind of college athletics 2.0, and that'll kick off next week for us over on Media Days. We'll be covering over an SEC Network. Joe, great stuff, man. We'll see you hopefully in Hoover next week. All right.
I'll see you there, guys.
There it is, Joe Goodman from AL.com. It is fascinating, and I don't know the rules behind it. But, you know, for years when I was working in Denver and San Antonio and other radio markets, when I would go cover the Super Bowl, we would have what they called Super Bowl Media Row. So you would go, you would do your radio show, much like WJOX or some of the great other stations at big time events, like we'll have it Media Days come and they, you know, do their show live from that event. Is it going to be to a point where if JT Daniels is going for Georgia, and I'm not quite sure the name, image, and likeness rules are for Georgia, but let's say LSU, because I know them for Louisiana, you can use the name, image, and likeness, and you can use your school colors. Can you get paid to put the Nick Saban Coke bottle on for SEC Media Days? I wouldn't think so. But what prevents them if they wore the little tie or the button, you know, the button or something like that? I'm going to be fascinated to see if that plays a role coming up next week in SEC Media Days. All right, more of your phone calls coming up on the other side, 855-242-PAUL. You can follow me on Twitter, at Peter Burns ESPN. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Couple hours away from Home Run Derby in beautiful Coors Field in Denver, Colorado. I used to live about 5 blocks from the ballpark, and the ball just flies out simply mostly because it's at a mile high, right? 800 feet above sea level. So the air's thinner, but then normally they have to keep the balls in a humidor so, you know, the balls don't really launch. Remember going back to the days where it was Todd Helton and Giambi and all those guys for the Rockies, and they were just blasting. You know, the games were like 17 to 14 there at Coors Field. They're taking the balls out of the humidor today for the All-Star Game festivities and looking forward to see what kind of crazy numbers they put up later today. Peter Burns filling in for Paul Feinbaum. 855-242-PAUL is the number. That's 855-242-7285. Real quick baseball notes. Congratulations to Jack Leiter and Kumar Rocker. Both of them end up being top 10 picks of last night's Major League Baseball first-round draft. Will Bednar, the national champions, Hail State, Mississippi State baseball team. He ended up going, 14th to Will Clark's old team, the San Francisco Giants, and Gunnar Hoglund of Ole Miss going to the Blue Jays there with the 19th pick. And just a slew of guys were picked today as they had the second couple rounds of the Major League Baseball draft. More of your phone calls now. We go to Alabama. Richard, thanks for joining Peter Burns in here on the Paul Feinbaum Show. What's up, Richard?
Hi, Peter. How you doing, my buddy?
Good, man. Good. How you doing, sir? You having a good summer?
Man, every day is awesome.
I hear you, brother.
Listen, I got a comparison question.
Okay.
Mark Richt and Kirby Smart. What do they have in common?
If you're asking me the question, I would say what they have in common is both successful coaches, University of Georgia. I don't know if there is trying to be a punchline, or what do you think is the thing in common between Richt and Kirby?
They cannot win the big one.
I felt that coming, Richard. Now, are you who is your team, Richard?
Roll Tide, baby.
That's what I figured. I knew we would get
there.
That's why this season, and Richard, thank you for the phone call, and I hope you have a great summer. That's why this year is so important for Kirby Smart, right? Because it's not a matter of if you have the team. You've had enough time to get your recruits in, right? You've had enough time to get your coordinators in, okay? And now that you've got Todd Monken, you got your quarterback, you know everything is lined up. Yeah, listen, George Pickens' injury in spring ball, it stinks, right? It flat out really stinks. But the good news is that the transfer portal is there. You're able to grab guys. You're able to have, oh, by the way, another top-tier recruiting class. If not now, then when, right? Because I don't know if you'll ever, if you look at kind of these two programs going head-to-head, all the way back to second and 26 and Tua Tagovailoa ripping their hearts out there in Atlanta for the national championship game. You're seeing two gladiators go at it. The problem is Alabama knew. Alabama was seasoned. They knew how to get there. They knew how to win the fight. They knew how to win that battle, and they did. Even though they were down in most of what? The three games that we've seen them, Georgia's had at least a first-half lead, if not led at the almost end of regulation in every single one of these games. But Alabama found a way to win. They were that gladiator that got it done. And I look at the amount of talent that has been assembled in Athens. And if you can tell me that Kirby Smart can't get it done in Athens this year, I'm not saying, oh, he should be fired. No, that's BS message board stuff. But what I am saying, if not now, when? Because I'm not sure if I've seen Alabama lose coordinators like this and this many draft picks and this many key guys and a quarterback, all of this, right? There's so much change that's happening in Tuscaloosa, and yet so much is set up for success at Georgia. And yet if it's Alabama over Georgia again, whew. And if you're a Georgia fan, you can't be thinking that way. I said it, and I let off the Feinbaum show here today. You don't need to be thinking what happens this year. What you need to be thinking is that it's done. It's a done deal. This is the year we win the championship. You need to have that mentality, because if you don't, we'll know it in the first 5-6 minutes of that game. You come out, and if Kirby has his team, this Georgia squad, who I think is infinitely talented, if they're not ready to go and they look a little trigger shy right off the bat, kind of look, we're just going to kind of throw a couple jabs and see how this Clemson game, if you don't go pedal to the metal and try to wipe them off the face of the college football earth right off the bat, I'm a little worried for what Georgia football is going to bring, because it's going to be that attitude that's going to finally get them over the hump like it got LSU over the hump of Alabama back in 2019. 855-242-PAUL is the phone number. Peter Burns in for Paul Feinbaum. All right, talking about the Georgia Bulldogs, I see you want to talk about them. We go to Alabama. Brad, thanks for joining Peter Burns in here on Feinbaum. What's up?
Well, thank you, Peter. A little bit of my thunder. You mentioned everything that I was going to mention about my Bulldogs, but I need to convince Cam. Listen, Georgia has one of the best facilities, venues in all of college football. They've had a top five, top three most of the time recruiting class over the last 7 years. They've got a top three coach. Sorry, I don't know if you heard that. They've got a top three coach. They've got all this talent that you talked about. And one thing that they have going for them that none of these other teams have, they have not won a championship in 41 years.
Mm-hmm.
They've been right there at the top, in the top echelon, year after year after year. And when you say Georgia fans, you got to know it. Georgia fan, I know it every single year. And I get disappointed. But this is the year. And once they climb and achieve this pinnacle, it's going to be another Alabama domination. This is going to be the first championship of many to come for Kirby Smart and the Georgia Bulldogs.
Brad, thank you for the phone call. And we're talking about Cam, our producer, trying to adopt a team. And I think the reason why you're spot on, Brad, and I talked about it earlier here on the show, with the way that Georgia is set up, you have to take advantage of this year, that window, to win the title. Because if you don't and everyone else catches up, when do you win it? But more importantly, you're right saying that it could unlock this next level, right? All of a sudden, it's like the golfers who all of a sudden win their first major and they're like, okay, all right, I did it. Now let's break through. And they go a different level. Because with two signing days, a transfer portal, immediate eligibility inside the conference for transfers, and name, image, and likeness, Georgia should never miss. Georgia, talent-wise, should never not be one of the top five teams in the country. So then it's going to come down to coaching and putting the guys in the right spot. And if you can unlock that this year, right off the bat against Clemson, and make this as a no-doubter, this would not just be a championship for Georgia. It might be a run of a decade that we've never seen, unless you consider the success that they've had just down the road in Tuscaloosa. 855-242-PAUL is the phone number. Quick break. Matt in Mobile, I see you. Amy, others on hold. Hang tight. We'll get to your phone calls in a second. Peter Burns in for Paul Feinbaum.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sliding into the host chair for this week, or most of the week. I'll be back here on Thursday and Friday, filling in for Mr. Paul Feinbaum, who, you know, Paul wants to be ready for SEC Media Days, so he takes a week off. He goes down to Turks and Caicos to his private island, takes the jet, gets the nails done, the hair done. He's going to look tan like Richard Hamilton coming in for Media Days. So he's going to show up with a present. So I appreciate that about Paul, always giving back to his SEC fans. Follow me on Twitter at Peter Burns, ESPN. 855-242-PAUL is the number. That's 855-242-7285. Been talking about Cam, our producer here, needs to adopt a team. And we kind of got into discussions on contenders versus pretenders this year. I've already said it. I think Georgia wins the national championship. Said it right now, said at the beginning of the show, I'll say at the beginning of next week. Unless something unforeseen happens between now and the opening of the season, i.e. injuries, mostly if JT Daniels gets banged up for whatever reason, and fingers crossed he doesn't, I think Georgia wins it all. And I think a lot of it has to do with the success of this program and the success of the career of Kirby Smart lies into this year. Matt is in Mobile, Alabama. Thanks for joining Peter Burns here on the Feinbaum Show. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Peter, I think that's not a bad pick for national champion this year. And it wouldn't have been a bad pick for the last probably 3, 4, 5 years now. And there's a reason, you know, Georgia rather is building their program and has been building it well under Kirby Smart, recruiting at a high level. But, you know, I hear a little bit of anxiety, you know, almost in your voice is like, and so if they don't win it now, they never will. And, you know, I would present to you Auburn. You know, how many years have we said, you know, Auburn, you know, they look pretty good, but, you know, no one would pick them to win the championship, and they do. So basically all that has to happen is one or two of those statistics break in another direction, and Georgia's right there in it, ready to go. So when will they beat Alabama? Peter, they're going to beat Alabama when they're better, than Alabama. And they just haven't been better than them yet. They have been so, so close. And I'm a Tide fan, and, you know, I know they've been so close, but they haven't been better yet. And when they're better, they'll be ready to go. Kirby Smart's going to be there for a long time. Enough good players are going to come through there. I have a hard time not seeing them win 3 national championships in the next 10 to 15 years. What do you
think? Look at that. A kumbaya moment. A Tide fan saying that he thinks that Georgia is going to be fantastic. And Matt, I think you're right. You know, I mean, correct. I mean, look at this. And I came up with this. I want to go back, and I think it's January or so, and I just looked it up in the break. And I tweeted that day. I said there have been 221 coaches in FBS since Kirby Smart started at Georgia down in Athens, okay? Here's the list of coaches that have 50 wins, a conference title, and played for a title since then. Nick Saban, Dabo, and Kirby. That's it. There's been 221 exactly. coaches in that time. There's 3 of them. So I do think that the coaching, you know, that narrative that Kirby can't coach is lazy. However, the problem is he has to get by those one percenters, right? And those one percenters are Nick Saban, Dabo, and now what Ryan Day is building out in Columbus as well.
It seems like the difference between being a good coach and what you know would be considered a great coach in the SEC is like the Grand Canyon. I mean, it is a gulf. So, you know, that gulf, like you said, is that 1-2% that 3 or 4 points that it takes to beat Alabama in a couple of those games. And I honestly don't see Kirby Smart not running into a couple championships in the future. That's just my opinion.
Hey, Matt, we for Mobile, great phone call. We appreciate it. 855-242-PAUL is the number. And again, an Alabama fan Thanks, saying, man. Listen, I think Georgia is able to break through. The problem right now with Kirby is that he lives in the SEC neighborhood. And when you roll into the SEC neighborhood, the gates are all great. It's unbelievable. A lot of security. Because, listen, our fans, we you know, we're SEC fans. We take it just means more here, right? And you roll in, and the only problem with Kirby right now over the last 5 years, his is the second house in the neighborhood. The problem is the first house you see right on the left, the first thing you see in that SEC neighborhood is Nick Saban's behemoth millionaire mansion. And then right behind it, right next door, the second house that you see as far as success is Kirby's mansion. It's a big mansion. It looks great. But you still can't keep your eyes off that first mansion, right? You still can't keep your eyes. Oh, my gosh, look at that thing. I mean, that's nice. I would take that in a heartbeat. It's nicer than what I have. But what you have in that first house is out of control. And that's what Nick Saban is. And frankly, that's what Gus Malzahn was dealing with for the longest time at Auburn. His neighborhood just happened to be in the state of Alabama. I'm a firm believer, and I can't wait to talk to him over here at SEC Media Days this week, that Brian Harsin is going to be a really good hire for the Auburn Tigers. Every time I listen to Harsin talk, I'm more and more impressed. I've gone back and listened to some of the stuff he did at Boise State and just conversations he's had with media members and different speeches he's done. And I feel like I've learned something. And I feel like there's a stable environment that I think Auburn needed. And on the and the part, and I think this is one of those breakups that is great for both teams and both parties. I think Auburn needed to get rid of Gus Malzahn for a bevy of different kind of infighting in that community, in the fan base, in the athletic department, and people picking sides. They needed to have an outsider, right? So credit Alan Green for finding that guy in Harsin. But also, I think Gus does well. I talked to Gus not too long ago, and just a smile on his face of now, hey, listen, he could do something. How excited do you think he is for a college football playoff expansion of 12 teams? I think he'd love it. I know he's diving right into this name, image, and likeness, and he's going to be a problem as well going forward. So, again, I'm excited about what we're going to see in this season. The only problem is, And I was telling somebody about this yesterday. I'm so excited about being at Media Days, but I'm also kind of bored with the season already. And the only reason why I say this, before you get upset, is because now that the idea of a 12-team college football playoff has been dangled about, I can't stop thinking about it. I can't stop thinking about, all right, well, what would week 5 look like for LSU? Or what would this game look like for Ole Miss? What would this game look like for, my goodness, I mean, I'm looking at Missouri's schedule. Central Michigan, Kentucky, Southeast Missouri, Boston College, Tennessee, North Texas. And then A&M comes up to Columbia, then Vanderbilt. What if you had a team like a Missouri that all of a sudden could go on a run? All the different storylines. And then I have to pause and think, well, that can't happen this year, right? They're going to go win 10 wins, 11 wins. I don't think that's going to happen. So the best thing they did was dangle the 12-team college football playoff in front of us. And I know that was kind of a thought bubble, though. Hey, let's just leak it out there. Let's see what kind of press it gets. It's positive. A lot of people like it. But now I think I like it so much that I'm already like, okay, I'm Pavlovian. I'm already like, okay, chomping at the bit. Let's get there. Still got a couple of years, maybe a lot more years for that to happen.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.